Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been asking, Lori will be here tonight with Sally, and then my favorite, Valentina, will be here too, all right? We're glad, so praise the Lord. How many know in the last few weeks, there's been something going on in the atmosphere, and we've been watching the happenings of the world, and we've had warnings, we have been on alert, and we are seeing prophetic events unfold right before our eyes. And four words come to my mind when I think about the last few weeks: in the last days. How many know we are living in the last days? You think we're living in the last days? And when you think about it, we know that we've got wars. This week, Iran launched over 180 ballistic missiles toward Israel. Earlier this year, around 300 were launched, and some say that we are headed to World War III. We've got Hamas acting crazy. We got Russia and Ukraine. We've got China. We know that there are famines. We know that there are shortages. We know that Hurricane Helene, over 220 dead, bringing over 30 inches of rain in this state on the western side. And we are hearing this week about strikes. We know that people are living in fear. There are people that are depressed, and there is violence raging in the world. But we see all these things as last day events. We see all these things as last day events. These are real happenings, and they are affecting people in many terrible ways. But what is happening in the world is people are asking the question, what's going on? And if you're not saved, I'm going to say today, you need to get saved. If you're not sure where you would spend eternity, people say only God knows that, but that is not true. 1 John 5:13 says you can know you have eternal life. Luke 10 says you can know your name is written in heaven. Romans chapter 8 would tell us that we can know that we are children of God. So I do not have to face the days that we are living in uncertain about where I will spend eternity. Can I get an amen in here? What and who are we to believe in these last days? Are we to believe social media? Are we to believe the politicians or the news? I don't know. I believe the prophet Joel more than CBS, ABC, MSNBC, Fox, or the Weather Channel, or Facebook, or X, or TikTok. So what I'm asking is, what Joel prophesied true? Is what Simon Peter quoted out of the book of Joel true? Is his sermon true? In the last days, I want to read Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 21 today. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, I like this part right here, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father God, we thank you for your word today. May the word of God penetrate every one of our hearts, that we today would mix the word with faith, that it would explode in our spirit today. And Lord, I pray that a spirit of conviction would come into this house. Lord, there are people here today with sin in their life. There are people here today that are backslidden. There are people here that do not know you. I pray, Lord, make it very hot for them today. Lord, that they will respond to this gospel. And Lord, that they will not leave the way they have come. Lord, those that are sick in body and pain is racking their body right now, we know that you sent your word to heal us. We receive it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are not here in fear, but we are here in faith, believing what you said shall come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. Why don't you just tell somebody next to you, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. Come on, tell somebody. The passage that we read out of Acts chapter 2 was given on the day of Pentecost. Simon Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, and he quotes the prophet Joel, and he starts it out with, in the last days. Now, I know that we look at the last days, and we look at even the last few weeks, and sometimes we get overwhelmed when we see some of these things, and we wonder what in the world is going to happen next, but I'm going to tell you, I am looking for Pentecost in the last days. I'm not looking to hoard up supplies. I'm not hiding in my bunker. I'm not depending on my government. I am not depending on anyone to help me out, but I'm not looking for defeat this morning. I'm not looking for depression. I'm not looking to be a part of the falling away in the last days. I'm looking for personal Pentecost. You can choose what you have in these last days. I'm believing Pentecost will explode even more in these last days. Something has happened. Recently, we know that the statistics are that 4 out of every 10 Christians in the world speak with tongues. That sounds pretty good to me, but I think we could up it a little bit. I believe God wants to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. And we read the statistic that 1 out of every 10 people in the world is a tongue talker today. So Pentecost is no longer in the back corner. It's no longer just in the upper room, but it has gone to the world. And we are living in the last days, and I really believe that Pentecost is God's mercy before all hell breaks loose during the tribulation. If you don't like what's been going on, these are just the early pains. Are you understanding me? These things are going to ramp up a little bit more before we see Jesus come. But I will tell you this today, that I am not looking for all these bad signs to happen to me. But I am believing that Pentecost is going to break loose in these last days because he's not willing that any should perish. See, in these last days, number one, I believe Pentecost should be the priority. The word Pentecost, we get all kinds of ideas. When we say Pentecost, we get ideas of people that look strange and dress strictly, and we get all kinds of things. But Pentecost really is a really nice word. It just means 50. It really just means 50, and I know that sometimes people look at me and they say, you're a dinosaur. You've been around so long, you preach old school, you use King James Version and all these things, and I get harassed sometimes, and I think that sometimes when we say Pentecost means 50, that some people think that Pentecost should have been for 50 years ago. But Pentecost is more relevant today than ever before. With everything that's going on, I am pointing people to Jesus' soon return. In the last days, we know that we will have men's hearts failing them for fear. All you have to do is say monkeypox, and people get a symptom. They start scratching and picking fleas. If the CDC even mentions something, it causes a panic. And I read today they're saying swine fever is coming and it's going to affect your ability to get lunch meat. I say the CDC is full of their own baloney. Now you say, what am I talking about? The CDC has received millions of dollars from companies like Pfizer and Merck, and others connected to the pharmaceutical companies So I'm going to tell you, you cannot believe them, but you can believe this Bible. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I can believe this Bible that says that angels keep charge over you and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. I am here to tell you that God will take care of you. If Noah and his family were saved, then you and your family, if you stay in the house of God, will be saved. If God had a place called Goshen for the people of God, that in the middle of everything going on, that they were blessed and prospered. God can bless and prosper you no matter who's in the White House, no matter what's going on around this world. Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you understanding me? His name is above every name, and at that name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can I get an amen in here? So with that being said, I believe that Pentecost should be the prime concern. Jesus said, don't do anything until you be endued with power from on high. Don't do anything until you receive this power. And the Apostle Paul, you find that he is still emphasizing Pentecost. 25 years after the day of Pentecost, he's with the believers at Ephesus. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he was saying something there. He said, not the same as being born of the Spirit, but he's saying you need to be filled with the Spirit. Today, everybody in this building needs to be born of the Spirit. If you don't know where you stand with God at the end of this message, you can be born of the Spirit. But every one of you need to be filled with the Spirit as well. Now you say, well, I don't know about Pentecost. You can't have Pentecost with all your excuses. I hear these excuses. It scares the visitors. Well, you don't know your Bible. The Bible says tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. Well, it causes confusion. No, it only causes confusion if you don't follow the rules of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Others say, well, it's just not necessary. Then why did Jesus use his last words before he left this earth to tell you to wait for the promise of the Father? He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now think about this. What if you went to the church at Jerusalem, you were part of the 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost? What if you went to that church and then right afterwards there's 5,000 saved? So the church is running about 8,000 and you got up one day and said, I don't really like this church. I think I'm going to go to a different church. You know, after a little bit, time passes. There's a church in Corinth. There's a church at Ephesus. I don't really like this church because they're too Holy Ghost. They're too Pentecostal. Well, listen, you couldn't switch churches then. You thought, I want my church to be a little more chill. Because you couldn't switch to another church that didn't emphasize the Holy Spirit, because every church was Pentecostal. You couldn't switch from Jerusalem to say, I'm going to go to the Corinthian church or I'm going to try to find one that's lighter version of the original. Ephesus was not an option because it was Pentecostal too. So if you went to church, it was Pentecost or nothing. And I'm going to say something to you today. You may not like this, but for me, I have decided it's Pentecost or nothing. I'm flowing with the Holy Ghost today. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He said, it's better for you that I go away. I'm going to tell you, because I'm going to send the Holy Ghost today. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for this Pentecostal experience. Today, Pentecost is for everyone. The Bible is very clear. In Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He said the promise, when Simon Peter preached. He said, the promises unto you. That was the 3,000 that got saved that day. And to your children, the 3,000, their children were to be saved. And if God wants their children to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, then God wants your children to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. But then he said, and to all that are afar off. You think about that. That includes you and I today. It is God's will for all of us to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit that those that believe should receive. If you are a believer, you should receive the Holy Ghost. You say, how can I know the will of God for my life? The Word of God says, this is the will of God concerning you. Be not drunk with wine. I'm going to take it a little further. Don't be drunk with wine. Coors, Chivas Regal, Crown Royal, Jack Daniels, Budweiser, Bush, Jose Cuervo. I better stop there. You may think I know too many. But he said, this is the will of God for you. Don't be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. And really, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I understand that after studying, you look at that passage in English, and it's not quite the same, but it's something like this. Continue being filled. Be being filled. Keep being filled. Don't let it run out, but keep being filled. Keep being filled. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You're going to get hungry and thirsty, or you're going to do without. I don't know about you, but I want more than I've ever had before. I don't know about you, but the Bible said, know this, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then he gives a big list. The big list, we've seen it all. Lovers of their own self, disobedient to parents. It goes all through there. Boasters, all these different things. But verse number 5 says, having a form of godliness. The first four verses are written about the world. But when the fifth verse, it's written to you and I, the church. But there in the last days, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. He's saying there'll be people that have good doctrine, but they don't have the power of God. There'll be people that have good doctrine. They know what the Word says. This is what our church believes, but they're not acting upon it. I'm going to tell you, I think it's about time we faith for it today. Are you hearing me? That we reach out and say, God, fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fill me with a fresh infilling. Why don't you just lift up your hand and just say, Lord, fill me with a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit today. Come on, can somebody do it with me? See, we have the doctrine, but we must have Pentecost. Number 2, Pentecost is power. We know that Acts 1:8 says you'll receive power. That's miraculous ability. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. We are told that after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, not before, that you'll have power, miraculous ability. The power of God that is given you is not so you can make people think you're wonderful, but the power of God is given that we might change the world. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I like to say it like this. Today, I function by the unction. That sounds like Schoolhouse Rock. Listen to me. I function by the unction. I'm going to tell you, I know next week when I'm in Pakistan, I get on that platform and I'm looking at the sea of people and tears begin to run down my face because I know that God put me there, but I don't have the ability to do it on my own, but I function by the unction. There's an anointing that I have received, and that anointing that I've received is the same Holy Ghost that Jesus received, and the same Holy Ghost that's in you, that you function by that unction today. See, I'm going to tell you that Holy Ghost power gives us power over Satan, gives us power over drug addiction, over alcoholism, power over perversion, power over fear, power over habits, power over depression. Do you realize that depression is a spirit?
We're trying to deal with it by taking a pill. You need to deal with it by dealing with the enemy. Are you understanding me? I'm not mad at anybody today. I'm here to tell you, I believe that God wants to set you free by the power of the Holy Ghost. And today, I am not defeated. I was in a meeting recently in Texas, and after service, I got a note from the pastor. He said there was a young man that came to this meeting, and he'd already written his suicide note. He was going to go home. He had his gun already out, ready to kill himself. He thought it was done. He said, I can't beat defeat. I can't defeat and beat depression in my life. But I'm going to tell you, God had a better plan. That night, the power of God came in that room, and I'm going to tell you, his plans got changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe he's still living. He's serving God. Today, I'm not beat down. I may have been in the miry clay, but he lifted me out. He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock to stay. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. See, some of you are feeling something lifting off of you right now. That is the Spirit of the Lord breaking the chains of bondage. It's breaking. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Well, we got people say, oh, we don't need Pentecostal power. You know, we got people that identify as cats. Well, but not in Ohio anymore. That'll break that cat spirit right off you when you find out people are eating you. We got people wearing body part hats, screaming. We don't know what a woman is. You go back to Adam when that rib was taken out. And God made another being. Adam said, whoa, man. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I heard somebody use that a long time ago. I wish I'd have left it in my bag, all right? But man, I don't understand. You can go to a five-year-old, he knows the difference between a man and a woman. I'm pretty sure there's an innie and an outie. That's how simple it is. I hope my mom doesn't watch this video. And you, some people say, we don't need Pentecostal power. Please. The Pentecostal power is life-transforming power. If you touch a live wire, it can be shocking. But if you touch the living God, if you touch the power of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, it is transforming. I'm not talking about a better attitude today. I'm not talking about giving you a little pick-me-up today. A cup of coffee can do that. A Red Bull can do that. But I'm talking about a dramatic change where Saul went from Saul to the Apostle Paul, where timid Simon Peter came out as a man of God after being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about a life-changing experience. Number three, Pentecost is preaching. You say, what does that really mean? Pentecost is preaching. Acts 1:8, we're going to read it again. You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. See, we think a witness is the guys that ride around town with the black pants on, white shirt, necktie, first name Elder. We think a witness is those ladies that come around in the minivan to the neighborhood and get out with their Watchtower magazine. Those are types of witnesses, but I'm not talking about that. We need to do that more. I got accosted on the street by one of them and asked me to go to church with them, and I said, no, thank you. But I'm going to tell you something. We have the Holy Ghost power, and we do nothing. We need to preach. This gospel, if it's not preached, means nothing. If you only leave it on your shelf, that's why you hide it in your heart. That's why you put it in so it comes out of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart. Your mouth speaks. See, Pentecost is not a ticket to go to heaven. It is a ticket to go to all the world. You get to heaven only by the blood of Jesus, but the Holy Ghost gives you victory on the way to heaven. But something, Pentecost is not a ticket to go to heaven, it's a ticket to go to all the world. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples. A recent poll said that 51% of Christians said they did not know what the Great Commission was. Now you say, I kind of think that maybe, you know, we don't use the word Great Commission, you know. But the truth is, the Great Commission is, this is what Jesus told us to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm commanded to do it. I'm commanded to do it. And we need to have some preachers with passion. I'm getting a lot of preachers, you know, I got to take a 12-week sabbatical. Why can't you just call it vacation like everybody else does? I'm burnt out, they say. I say, how can those who are refrigerated be burnt out? Their churches are like an ice rink with people that keep going around in circles in a frozen atmosphere. Pentecost will change your preaching. When the church was threatened in Acts chapter 8, they didn't go, well, you know, we had a little threat, and I think we ought to back it up a little bit and, you know, lay off, and the government may back off, and everybody else will back off. No, they had a little persecution. They didn't go silent. They didn't give up. They didn't change their message to a watered-down psychology pep talk, but they preached the gospel, and it went to the whole world. In Acts chapter 8, Philip preached, and the whole city got saved of Samaria, including the town sorcerer, the witch of the town. We're not talking about your ex-wife. We're talking about a real witch. Man, I'm really stepping in some stuff today. But Peter preached in Acts 2, and the Holy Ghost fell. Stephen preached, and a great number of people came to the Lord. Paul, Barnabas, and others, they preached the word. I'm telling you, these were examples given to us. They're full of the Holy Ghost, and they preach with fire. What am I saying? Preach the gospel. Demonstrate it. 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Demonstrate it. Prove it. Let me say it as strong as I can today. If we do not win some souls, we are going to lose America. Is that incentive enough for you to preach? If we don't win some souls, we will lose America. I heard a missionary. He was talking about having service. He's in Kansas. He had service on Sunday morning, and he had to drive to another location right after church to make it for his Sunday night service in Kansas. Ever been to Kansas? Flat as a pancake. All you see are wheat fields. He said he left the service and he's driving, and he comes on a field that dust is flying up. Lots of dust. It looks like a crazy amount of dust. And when he gets closer, he realizes there's a combine out there, but there's not just one combine bringing in the wheat. Not just two, not three, not four, five, six combines running side by side. Now, that's unusual. I grew up in wheat country. 6 combines run inside, and they are making a mess. Dust is flying everywhere. And he got interested. Why are there 6 combines in one field? So he kind of pulled over. And one of the combines was emptying out the wheat into a truck. And he walked over to the farmer that got out of the combine. And he stopped that farmer and he asked him, why are there so many combines in one field? Why are y'all working together like this? He said, well, we got word that tomorrow that a big storm is coming. A hail storm is coming, H-A-I-L. A hail storm's coming, and hail will destroy the crop. So we got together, we all met at the town square, and we were asking what could we do, and they said, well, we don't normally work on Sunday, but we got a hail storm coming. What are we going to do? This is Sunday. The farmers decided that they could do more together than by themselves. Let's work together to get as much done as we can before that storm comes. Then the farmer, he looked over at the missionary. He said, sir, I'm sorry, I can't take any longer. I must get back to work because a storm is coming and there's a harvest to save. The world is looking at the last few weeks. They're clueless. They're blaming it on everything. Swine flu, Ebola, monkeypox, global change. Let's blame the president. Let's blame the last president. Let's blame the president. I mean, they just want to blame everybody. But they don't realize there's a storm coming. And there's a harvest to save. There's a storm coming. Folks, I've read my Bible and I know what happens after Jesus catches away the saints. There's a storm coming and there's a harvest to save. In Luke chapter 15, there's three stories and I'm going to close real quick. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Lost sheep. We've seen the pictures maybe. When I was a kid, we'd always have the shepherd. You know, it was Jesus with a sheep on his, a lamb on his shoulders walking. 99 were lost. They went out to find the one that, 99 were there. They were looking for the one that was lost. And when he found the one, he said, rejoice with me. That which was lost is now found. The woman is sweeping her house. Perhaps her husband gave her something nice, some kind of jewelry, maybe a charm on a bracelet that she lost, couldn't find it. She sweeps the house and finds that which was lost. She calls her near friends together, rejoice with me, that which is lost is now found. We got the 15th. Luke 15 has another story about the lost son. We call him the prodigal son. He spent all of his inheritance on riotous living. He was messed up. He's had to go from living high on the hog to now he's feeding the hogs. Not a good job for a Jewish young man. And he wished he could eat what he was feeding the hogs, the slop. But one day, verse 17 said he came to his senses. I like that verse right there. Because today somebody's going to come to your senses. See, some of you have been running from God. I'm going to tell you something. And you're wondering, would God even take me back? I will tell you that prodigal son, he's thinking about his father's house. I wonder if I've done all these bad things. I messed up so many times. I'm a mess. But all he did is take one step toward the father, and the father came running to him, and they killed the big calf, and they had a big party because that which was lost was found. Listen. I only find, if you can find another one, you can tell me in a nice way. But I only found one event in the Bible that causes heaven to rejoice. Heaven's where Jesus is. Heaven's my home. God the Father. My father, my earthly father's there. My grandfather, my grandmother. And you wonder what they're doing in heaven. The only event in the Bible that causes heaven to rejoice is when one sinner repents. We're making everything else priority. I think we ought to make my dad happy today. Make my grandma happy. Make my grandfather happy. Make your loved ones happy. But most of all, let's make Jesus happy. If you got sin in your life, today's the day to repent. Everybody stand to your feet in this place.
Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you, and I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, or I mean Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.